by ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the problem that we cannot solve is that immaterial, let's say, aspect of life, that the problems that goes beyond the nature, goes beyond this let's say physical world, which is immaterial, which is transcendent kind of knowledge. What we need is this sort of knowledge that should be brought to us by the prophets through wahy and revelation.
Yes.
But this kind of experimental or empirical kind of things that you mentioned, human being can solve them.
Yes.
By our own, let's say, intellect, by our own brain, by our own these sensory kind of faculties. We should not forget that, of course, in the history we have had some prophets who also provided people with this sort of knowledge, also like Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the other prophets, Prophet Khidr, for example, Prophet Idris, and the other prophets. It is mentioned because now some of the scholars are of the view that whatever types of sciences and knowledge, pieces of knowledge that we have, the main sources for all these types of knowledge are the prophets.
Yes.
Because the prophets were the first teachers of the mankind, and they actually taught the people, and they actually brought the knowledge for the people. Then those knowledge in the history, through the history, expanded and extended into different fields of studies. That's why the main source of knowledge of the mankind are all divinely kind of sources, according to, let's say, Islamic kind of principles and teachings. But of course, since man are able to enhance, to extend these sort of studies and knowledge by their own selves, then they do not need to any kind of divinely or, let's say, heavenly sort of sources for this sort of knowledge.
That's all right. And as you said, the golden age of the Islamic developments in science, we can say, was filled of experts from the lands of Persia and Iraq and Syria, we can say in Yemen, who helped very much in order to develop science in different fields of studies. Al-Haytham, Al-Khwarizmi, we can say Al-Biruni, At-Tusi, you know.
Yeah, of course.
These are not simple names. And all the modern developments were created on the shoulders of such developments.
Exactly. They owe to these scholars.
They owe to these scholars on that time. But at the same time, as I said, the A'immas and the infallible Imams had direct role in guiding the hearts and the souls of the people of their time. And most of the time, the people referred to them, even the scientists referred to them, in order to get answers to this spiritual, it's better to say, developments, spiritual growth at their time. And they were the Imams of Hidayah rather than the Imam of Science or something like that. And if we consider religion as a specialized field of study, Shaykh, for sure, A'immas were the experts.
Exactly.
For example, we know that.
Of course, they did have the knowledge.
Yes. Fiqh, Quran, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam helped the king of his time to coin the first Islamic coin for the trademarking, you know, on that time, because the coins were Romans. So now that the we can say the signs were changed into the Islamic ones by the help of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. They had knowledge on different fields of studies, Islamic sciences, hadith, you know, history of Islam, Quran, and so on. So these can be considered as a scientific help of the Imams too, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You know that, as I mentioned, there are many scholars, many scientists in the history that their teachers, their previous generations of their teachers, will go to the Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Mm-hmm. That's why, and at the time of these two great Imams, the different fields of studies were there, and the different kind of students from across the Islamic world were there. Among them were muhaddisin, let's say, among them were fuqaha, among them were theologians, among them were also scientists. So that's why these scientists also later, they improved and perfected the different fields of studies by the help of A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam. As you rightly mentioned, the Islamic civilization in the 4th and 5th century was the most, let's say, powerful and developed and perfect kind of civilization in the whole world. which were established by Muslims by the help of Islamic teachings and doctrines, which is based on the teachings and doctrines of the Quran, Prophet, and Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wassalam.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Welcome. Zionist fears of Iranian retaliation for the attack on the consular affairs section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus were present in Zionist media, which confirmed that the response is imminent. Also, American-Israeli coordination meetings regarding Rafah and the situation on the ground in the Gaza Strip, along with protests against Netanyahu. I would like to go ahead and welcome our guest today, Professor Jamal Wakim, professor in history and international relations. Welcome.
Hello.
Let's start today with the Zionist media, which has paid close attention to the phone call between Biden and Netanyahu, describing it as extremely difficult. Professor Wakim, how do you interpret this phone call between Biden and Netanyahu? Does it actually indicate a change in Washington's policy towards the entity, as many have already suggested?
I believe that the Biden administration is fed up with Benjamin Netanyahu for too many reasons. It didn't start now. It started right after the, the start of this confrontation in Gaza with targeting the civilians indiscriminately, which I don't think that it moved much the sentiments of of Biden, but it caused a lot of embarrassment for his administration worldwide and also with the Muslim community inside the United States.
Well, as you mentioned there, this is not the first time that we have heard warnings from Biden to Netanyahu, but nothing has changed regarding the aggression. And as you're mentioning, why is this uproar in this case describing it as tense?
Well, of course, Biden has given too many, deadlines for Netanyahu to achieve, quote-unquote, the objective. But Netanyahu couldn't do much except for targeting the civilians and killing the civilians. Lately, media talked about the incident that... of the killing of seven, rescue workers in Gaza, which caused uproar in worldwide. Too bad the Western public opinion wasn't moved much by 30,000 Palestinian victims, but it was moved by the killing of 6 or 7, let's say, Europeans.
The humanitarians.
Yes, humanitarian workers. But I think there is an undeclared dimension mm-hmm. for this fierce conversation, which is that of the bombing of the embassy, of the Iranian consulate, actually.
Which we're going to go ahead and talk about now.
Yeah, so I think that this has been tackled in the conversation, especially that Netanyahu
yes.
was trying, in his move, to push the United States into a direct confrontation with Iran.
There have been growing Zionist fears of Iran's response to the attack on Damascus and the calls from commentators and experts not to underestimate the Iranian response. Actually, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said that an imminent response is coming now. What do you believe?
Well, I think so. As an observer, let's say. And if I want to see it in a very objective way, I think that Iran needs to retaliate. Because if it doesn't, this will be a big embarrassment for it. And it will retaliate in kind and quality. I mean that it wouldn't retaliate through proxies, let's say through allies, but it will retaliate directly. That's most probably. I might be wrong.
So could this lead to a regional war, perhaps?
There are a lot of calculations that should be taken in consideration by Iran. First, as I said, it will directly respond. That's one thing. Another thing, it will also respond in kind. So maybe target an Israeli embassy somewhere in the world.
So eye for eye, basically.
Yeah. That's. I might be wrong. I'm not trying to
your predict. Point of view, of course. Yes.
Yeah. And at the same time, Iran should calculate its moves. So we need to try to understand why Netanyahu did that. It might be that he's trying to push the United States into direct confrontation with Iran. And if I want to put myself in the shoes of the Iranians, if they want to react, they shouldn't react in a way that would make them fall into the trap set by Netanyahu. So that's why it's very, delicate
calculation. And as we know, Iranians usually don't do this.
Yeah. Maybe they do a mistake. I don't know. But if I want to be, I'm trying to see things from afar.
Yes.
So they need to take in consideration avoiding being pulled into Netanyahu's trap because Netanyahu was trying to cause instigate the
yes.
United States into a military strike to Iran since years now. So,
actually, we're going to go ahead and move on to what's going on there in the Zionist entity. Widespread military, security, and political alert is on in the entity, fearing the Iranian response. Among the measures taken, which is actually putting the Air Force on high alert, as we saw here in the media. I mean, do you believe the Zionist entity has miscalculated this assassination on the Iranian embassy in Damascus?
I don't think so. I believe that, of course, Netanyahu has been reverting to desperate measures because he's a desperate person. He knows very well not only that Israel is cornered, actually, because it's been trying to achieve, quote unquote, its objectives since October, but it failed to achieve any tangible result except for the killing of civilians, which has been backfiring on it worldwide. And Netanyahu, he's desperate because also internal opposition is mounting. Prior to the operation against Gaza, he was in a very bad political shape for years. He had to go through 5 consecutive elections until he went back to the government, and this time by paying off the extreme right Zionists, what they call the nationalist religious parties, and which pushed him into further extremism in his policies. So, and if he steps down, let's say, or if he's ousted from power, everybody is talking about the end of his political career and his yes. that he will end up in jail. So this adds to the irrational factor
yes.
In Netanyahu's calculations. So that's why when he made this attack on the consulate
on Damascus,
he was calling for an Iranian reaction, thinking that it might come directly against American bases, and this will push the Americans to retaliate and cause a sort of regional war. That's why... Yes.
Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about more on this because we're a bit short on time.
Yeah, sorry.
Obviously, the Zionist media is not convinced by Washington's denial of its relationship with the Damascus attack and confirms the existence of a joint U.S.-Israeli coordination. What's your opinion?
Well, I think they are playing, let's say, Netanyahu's game, trying to... talking about independent media in Israel or in the West, it's a myth. So I think that they are trying to, let's say, support Netanyahu in his attempt to push the Americans into direct confrontation with the Iranians. Of course, there is intelligence coordination between the United States and Israel. There is also military cooperation. However, when regarding taking this decision to bomb the Iranian consulate in Syria, I think that the Americans had nothing to do with that. I'm not trying to defend them, but if I want to see it from pure American interests,
yes.
let's say. So, especially that there was a time when the tension was high between the Iranian allies in the region and the United States, especially at the after the killing of the three, let's say, the bombing of this American base in Jordan
yes.
and the killing of three American operatives back then. So we saw that the allies of Iran backed down
exactly.
and said that they will, yes. Let's say, try to defuse the situation. Mm-hmm. So had the Americans wanted to go into a full-fledged confrontation, they would have used that pretext to go on that. So
well,
that's
we are
why
going to go ahead and see about yeah. these increasing attacks going on.
Yeah.
With the increasing attacks on the entity from Gaza-supporting resistant fronts and activists in Zionist social media sites, threats made by Minister of War Gantz have been invoked against Lebanon, Yemen, and Iraq.
Savir, until now there were 60 air raid sirens in the north. And what did Gantz do? Aidan, if every word were action, we would have ended the war a long time ago. Dudi, we are not ready for threats from within, and you want to say that we are ready for distant threats? Mali, with a minister like Gantz, we are not ready for anything. Strit, only the words of Mr. Gantz are just words. Alm, it makes me laugh.
Professor Joachim, what is your assessment of the escalation of resistance operations in the Gaza supporting front, reaching, of course, Aliyat, Haifa, and even the Ben-Gurion airport and other areas?
Of course, the resistance in Gaza has accumulated a lot of power, expertise, and of course, modern technology that was transferred to it by Iran. That's no secret. And of course, they acquired other weapons from the, let's say, the black market worldwide, which is very legitimate to do from the resistance point of view. So that's why they have been able to withstand this war waged against Gaza for nearly 6 months. We're starting the seventh month now. And this could go on for several more months. There is the capabilities of the resistance never wavered so far. And this has been putting the Israelis into, let's say, a dead end with this regard.
Professor Joachim, in light of demands for a ceasefire and, of course, warnings against it, how do you interpret Biden's decision to continue sending these weapons despite his disagreements with Netanyahu?
Well, this is due to the fact that this is also a U.S. war. Despite the differences between Biden and Netanyahu, however, Israel is a very close ally to the United States, and it's been the United States agent in the region for the past 8 or 9 decades so far. So the U.S. cannot withstand an Israeli defeat. And this adds to the dilemma of Biden, how to end this conflict without a clear defeat for Israel and at the same time without a clear victory for the resistance. So that's one thing, and this explains why the United States will keep supplying Israel with arms despite its criticism to Netanyahu, or its, let's say, lack of support to Netanyahu's person.
Thank you very much, Professor Jamal Joachim, professor in history and international relations, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Until next time, salam.
ربنا Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا حي ويا قيوم نور قلبنا.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very important and significant question. This question is also related to the month that we are in. As you know, we are in the month of Ramadan. We are almost at the end of the month of Ramadan right now. Ramadan, as you know, is a very blessed and perhaps the most blessed month of the Islamic calendar. In some of our previous sessions, we looked at, you know, the significance of month of Ramadan, its virtues. One of the virtues of the month of Ramadan is the fact that in this month, it's obligatory and wajib upon us to fast. Fasting is necessary in this month, in contrast to other months in which it's simply recommended. Now, the question that we want to pose today is this: what are the virtues of fasting? What are the virtues of fasting? In some of our previous sessions, we looked at some of these virtues, like, for example, the fact that it leads to the disposition of taqwa and piety by severing the roots of desires within us. It gives us the ability to control our passions. Of course, fasting, as you know, it helps us be more healthy. You know, it leads to the strength of the body. Another, today we're going to look at some of the other virtues of fasting. One of the virtues of fasting is that fasting helps us cultivate the habit and the disposition of sincerity within us. What is sincerity? Sincerity, which in Arabic we call ikhlas, It means doing something for the sake of God, only for the sake of God, and being sincere and pure in our intentions with respect to Him. We can easily understand this when we contrast this with non-sincerity or being insincere. Like, for example, sometimes we pray, but we pray not solely for the sake of God. You might ask somebody, why are you praying? Well, he might say, well, I don't want people to think that I'm a bad person. Or, somebody might give some charity in the way of God. But if you ask him, why did you give this, charity? He might say, well, I don't want people to think I'm stingy, right? I don't like that. People will talk behind my back. Right? So this is a good act in and of itself. The act is good, and it would lead to the social repercussions that emanate from it will emanate from it and will happen. But this person won't get any reward for it because he's doing it insincerely, because he doesn't want to be known as a stingy person. He hasn't done it for the sake of Allah. So doing something for the sake of Allah, this is what we call ikhlas or sincerity. And fasting, it helps us cultivate this feeling within us. Why? Because in contrast to other acts of worship and ibadat, fasting is an act of worship where we don't, actively do something. So we're simply obliged to and asked to stay away from certain things. Like, for example, we're asked to stay away from eating, from drinking, and other things. So if the person doesn't actively go and tell people he's fasting, nobody's going to know that the person is actually fasting. Fasting is one of those acts of ibadah and worship which help us cultivate that feeling of sincerity within us. In a blessed hadith and tradition from the lady Fatimah al-Zahra salamullah alayha, it's been narrated that she said, Allah made fasting obligatory in order to reinforce sincere devotion to Him. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the virtues of fasting in the light of the hadith and the verses of the Holy Quran. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, in the program The Key on RIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we explore the Islamic upbringing of children and youth guided by the wisdom of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, who is a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed some light on this important subject. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Salma. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
So we've been discussing a certain question in the past episodes, which was about what to expect from your teenage son and how to, you know, ensure proper training from a young age. And you gave us some very nice tips, and inshallah the listeners can go through them in the while listening to the previous episodes. And we reached on you know, avoiding idle talk, that it's very important to instill this characteristic that, you know, when you're seated together as a family, or when you're talking to your child, when you're talking even to your spouse, the children are watching you, they're hearing you, you know, you have to make sure you don't just talk useless things all the time. They have to know that there is some sort of substance in your speech.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, by idle talk, even I mean any kind of idle amusement, lahu and la'ib, it's introduced in the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
That you should stay away from those kind of things, that wastage of time, that don't give you any benefit in the long run. So you know what? The impact is a negative one. You get a negative impact. Your mind becomes tired. Your soul does not accept that. So teenager becomes then cranky and very angry, frustrated, depressed, all this anxiety, you know, when he over talks or over does something, even overplays a game. You see, even if it's a refreshing game like soccer, when he plays it too much, he gets very tired. And he, okay, that's a good sign if he gets tired, but then he won't like it even, you know, in the end, that he when he overdoes something.
True.
So in the Holy Quran, we have in chapter 31, ayat number 6, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And of the people is he who buys the amusement of speech to mislead others from the way of Allah without knowledge, and who takes it in ridicule, those will have a humiliating punishment." Why? Yeah. Allah is harsh in that. A humiliating punishment. That means Allah knows that this has such a negative impact on your soul. Because Allah doesn't want to punish only. He is Rahman and Rahim. He knows that you yourself will have laid out this for yourself. Such a, you know, like a anxiety will overwhelm you that you won't even feel like, you know, doing other things
just
properly.
Feel depressed. And this is exactly what the Western like propaganda is, that they want to kind of make you just waste time on watching thousands of movies or thousands of serials,
or Instagram, for example,
or Instagram, or
whatever, wherever you go, wherever you land, whatever food you have.
Yeah, sometimes it's so easy to just go on scrolling Instagram for even hours, and then you suddenly feel like I could have done so much more.
Yes.
So many.
And it doesn't even give you that peace in the long run. Yeah, so that's what is lahw and la'ib. So any game even played with that I want to improve my concentration is not lahw and la'ib. But anything even like for example, done for amusement, like going to the park, which seems like, you know, like playing a game or something. If it's done for refreshing yourself, giving yourself this time, it's not lahw and la'ib. But yet, if you, for example, you don't know why you're reading this book or watching this movie. You keep on and on doing it, and you're wasting your time. That's exactly what lahw and la'ib, or keeping on talking on the phone hours on end, you know, getting every detail. What's the use? Or to your spouse, details for what? It's all lahw and la'ib, I feel, you know.
So I think it's like
there's so much intelligent conversation that can go on between spouses.
Definitely.
About people, what's going on in the world, what, you know, like we can do about it, or the program, the planning of their life ahead.
Very true. I think it's very important to like keep that balance. Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
So we're just going to have a short break and we will continue shortly.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we have been discussing about a very important characteristic to instill in our children, and that was avoiding idle talk and wasting time as a whole, like overdoing amusing things, or like you said that there's ifrat and tafrit, you know?
Yeah.
Excessiveness or
negligence.
Yeah. So keeping that balance sometimes is difficult.
Yeah.
So you've been saying that the child becomes depressed and anxious and angry when they are, you know, they don't have anything to do, or they are doing something excessively which is not of benefit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So if the parents should set an example in such a way that the child should learn, there are certain quiet moments that they should have together, for example, like reading or watching some important program or news or something like that, and then they should discuss over the dinner table. Is something a time of bonding,
yeah,
that the purpose should be achieved of bonding. We should ask the daily activities, what went, what happened, have the light humor, reassure them that they are loved.
Yeah.
You know, they're supported. Ask them of how their day went, what needs they have, for example, what they require probably in some area, like, you know, for example, while growing up, you need so many things like clothes and stationery and things like that. So you can find them that out about them. All that has a purpose, see? But when you become purposeless, you talk about different things, fantasies, games, clothes, shop, materialism, what people are doing, and backbiting and fault finding,
yeah,
all this.
No substance.
Yeah, no substance in it. So all that arises, those kind of negative thoughts, negative emotions, and the repercussions are not good. The teenager will also become like that, will talk to his friends subconsciously because he has got this lesson, like the same way as the parents talk, although he wouldn't, let out,
yeah,
he wouldn't even show it, but he will talk the same way to his friends. He wouldn't get that, that peace of mind, that peace of soul, that's so important.
Definitely.
So if the parent wants to raise a teenager like that, they should start even with talking substance, the way you say.
Yeah. So, do you have any other points regarding this?
No, not this subtopic, but I have another point of how to raise the teenager in such a way that they're expected to become pious leaders, inshallah, for society.
So, before you continue, we're just going to take a quick break and we'll continue shortly.
Ya muqdi al-khayrat, ya muqdi al-khayrat.
The Prophet ﷺ said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
So welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we have been discussing a very important characteristic that we have to try and instill in our children, which was avoiding idle talk and wasting time. So, yeah. Sister Samba, you said you have another important point that you want to talk about. Please enlighten us.
Yeah. Another thing that the parents should be very careful about, and that even should be instilled in from a young age, so that the teenager doesn't find problems facing that aspect, is don't be attracted to worldly things.
Hmm.
You know, the world is very limited, it's very, fleeting, and it shows, the wrong thing. And we get attracted to it, and only to find out that it wasn't that pleasurable that it seemed. When we attain it, then the interest goes away. We want more.
It's
like that ocean that, the thirst that keeps on, it's drinking salty water, and the thirst never gets quenched. Okay, we know all these things, but how to inculcate that in the child? When a child wants something attractive, first of all, don't encourage him. If he needs it, buy it for him, but don't keep on buying those things for him. And make sure the way you dress him, feed him, all should not be like something that is so show-offy, like something that calls for attention, or for him to have a little mark type of clothes, or the best kind of food. We should be so simple in our lifestyle that the child doesn't entertain this kind of worldly materialism in his mind.
Yeah.
For example, unfortunately, I know of some people, teenagers who are so much into clothes, and they can't wear apart from marked clothes with mark. They just can't wear, even if it be such a simple thing, but they can't wear. Who see the shoes, even they can't wear something like you know, if they're not marked shoes,
yeah,
the shoes of mark. So all these things are actually
branded, you mean?
Yeah, brand. All these things start at home. The parent buys the best kind of clothes. They want the children to dress the best way possible, thinking that they have the best, so why not give the best? Okay, there is a planning of Allah to give this wealth to a person so that they can also save and share also. And not, you know, like make the child be so, you know,
like make this seem as something so important.
So important and so like something that has to be that only. For example, some children can't do without having a certain kind of breakfast. They have to have a certain things in their table so that they can have breakfast or lunch or dinner. They can't eat certain foods. They can never eat simple foods. They have to have the best kind of things.
And regarding clothes, I remember there was a certain family who would only make their children wear branded clothes. So when we wanted to give them gifts, they nicely told us that, look, you won't get the clothes that we get, so,
that's so
just give us the money
it's
for it.
It's too embarrassing. Yeah, for both the parties it's embarrassing. So like, even if, for example, even when you want to give such people, you think about it, it'll go waste, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Like, this is the way that Allah loves, you know, تَخَفَّفُ تَلْحَقُ, lighten yourself and soar high, soar
be
high.
Be humble.
Yeah. And also, that qana'at, you know, that
contentment.
That contentment is so important, that there's a hadith of Imam Ali that the richest is the one who is most content. And it's such a beautiful feeling to raise the children like that, yeah?
Yeah.
Whatever you have, be content. Even if it's a simple bread or like a date, you know, we have at least what we want is that satisfaction and that energy we get from it, yeah?
And in fact, when you see the people today who are, for example, very well off, and you see them very, you know, oh, they're wearing very like simple clothing and all, that's kind of more attractive because you feel like, oh, they know what they have is like, what is important is something else, not the zahir and the
world. So this is what the parents should inculcate. What is important is that other side of you, that is the soul. Not that body. The body is fleeting, and the body requires some needs that we make it like the goals. We don't make it as the means.
Very,
you know,
true, yeah.
We give so much importance to such kind of worldly things that it becomes the goal rather than the means. So all this is of course shown right from the beginning of training a child, that how simple you are, the child will become that only. And this is a very important ayat in the Holy Quran. Allah mentions in Surah 31, ayat number 33, chapter 31, ayat number 33, O mankind, fear your Lord and fear a day when no father will avail his son, nor with a son will a son avail his father at all. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth. So let not the worldly life delude you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the worldly life is a delusion. You know, once it's over, even in like an old age, one doesn't attain that pleasure of anything, even food, clothes, nothing. So from a young age, if they inculcated this kind of behavior, that use, kulu washrabu, wala tusrifu, but don't do israf, don't go extravagance, you know. So all this is beautiful when child realizes that anywhere he can adjust, he can be content. But such people who have high expectations and they're so worldly, they can't adjust, but they have to have the best, you know, like an environment to live in. And if they, for example, fall in the hands of some other families, like for example, if they get married and they see other kinds of situations, they would just, you know, like resist.
They
wouldn't be able to continue, and they will lose their form and, you know, their personality.
Very true. So, inshallah, that, you know, we are all able to be such strong
simple people,
and simple people, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sister Salma, and inshallah, we hope to hear from you in the next episode. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Erik Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 7th, 2023. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, this time from Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, from Hector Fria Hofre from Chile, and from Bruce Lee from Australia. All of them are regular listeners. Roni, Hector, Bruce, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to our radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails from Chile. Hector Fria Hofer has sent us a piece of email. From India, Siddhartha Bhattacharji has sent us a piece of email. And here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Sial from Pakistan. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, spring is everywhere, and I prefer to introduce to you the historical village of Abyane in central Iran. Abyane is a historical and tourist village in Isfahan province, center of Iran. Abyane village is a beautiful and unique village in terms of ancient Iranian architecture and culture, which is about 40 kilometers northwest of the city of Natanz on the hillside of Karkas Mountain. The texture of Abyane's houses belongs to the three historical periods of Seljuk, Safavid, and Qajar dynasties, recorded as one of the national monuments of Iran. Abyane's houses are built in a staircase way covered with red soil. This historical village is registered as one of the national monuments of Iran. The historic village has always been of interest to Iranian and foreign tourists. And later during the program, I will talk about Abyane more. So, for the time being, let's see what Hector Fria Hofer from Chile has said. Hector says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I send my greetings and also a report in audio enclosed to my email confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or EQSL if it would be possible. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Hector, from Chile. Thank you very much for writing to us. I know you are one of our old and regular listeners from Chile. As for your request about sending you information about our country, Iran, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, where you can find the archive of our programs about Iran, which includes cultural, touristics, etc. So please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. Abyane village is easily accessible both from Kashan and Isfahan. It takes about 1 hour driving from Kashan and 2 hours from Isfahan to get there. By the way, did you know what this word Abyane means? Literally, it means the region where willow trees grow. It's very interesting. Just imagine a historical village full of willow trees. Looks like tales. Such things only exist in beautiful Iran, believe me. Abyane is undoubtedly among the most unique destinations in Iran, which will definitely amaze you if you visit it. How come? Because this village has largely preserved its culture, language, architecture, costume, and traditional rituals over the years, and is also famous because of the color of its soil. Well, it has red mud brick houses. Very interesting. Due to an unusual high level of iron oxide, the soil in Abyane village has a reddish, beautiful color, which makes it even more distinguished. Well, Abyane is also known as the Red Village, for your information. I've heard that as much of these soils gets dampened by rain, it becomes firmer. Great! Just like the people of this village who are patient and strong against the natural disasters during history. Okay, let's see what our listener from India, Siddhartha Bhattacharya, says. Siddhartha Bhattacharya, as you may know, is one of our old and regular listeners. Siddhartha says, "Here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India." Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran to Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. We recently received your audio file and appreciate your effort. Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India. An electronic QSL or EQSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Thank you again for writing to us at IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and your views are always welcome to us. So, after a short break, I will be back with you, dear listeners. And the historical village of Abyane. I think the local residents of Abyane must be very special people. I mean, these people love their father's culture and have preserved it for many years. So, they are very unique and admirable people. Good for them. Appreciative. The way people dress in Abyane is very notable. They wear a set of beautiful traditional outfits. Most women wear large white scarves with printed or embroidered red flowers, which covers their shoulders. They wear colorful dresses, and men wear traditional clothes as well, which consist of black vest and wide trousers. I think these people are so happy with this kind of living. I mean, wearing their own traditional clothes and living in such a historical environment. The local people live through agriculture, horticulture and animal husbandry, which is done in the traditional way. Abyana women play an important role in partnering with men in economic affairs. The seven aqueducts of this village, Abyana village, are used to irrigate fields and gardens that have crops such as wheat, barley, potatoes, and various fruits such as apples, plums, pears, apricots, almonds, and walnuts. Carpet weaving is another way of earning money in Abyana village, which has become popular in recent years and has led to the establishment of about 30 carpet weaving workshops. Great. Here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. So let's see what Muhammad says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine and me and my club friends are absolutely fit and fine. I am a listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, and that is you post me a program guide and other literature. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you and your club members and your club friends. Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Appreciations to you and your friends at your club. For this email, it's good to hear that you listen to IRIB English Radio daily and you found all the programs very informative and interesting. Thank you for that. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you and your club friends luck. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thank you again, Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Conclusion, Abyana village is beautiful in all four seasons of the year. In addition to spring, when the beautiful blossoming trees give life to the face of the village, and the relatively mild summers, when such weather is less common in other desert villages, do not miss the autumn of a thousand colors that make the way to the village spectacular and a pleasant experience for you. As winter approaches and the surface of the passages and the colorful houses are covered with the spectacular snowflakes, such an interesting landscape is created that amazes every tourist. Whatever I say is not enough, and I cannot describe the beauty of this historical village for you. You'd better take a tour to this special place to realize what I'm actually saying. As I always say, nowhere looks like beautiful Iran. Had a great time being together, but here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, Hector Freyhofer from Chile, Bruce Lee from Australia. Also, Siddhartha Bhattacharjee from India and Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have